continue on Wednesday night studying the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, and specifically at this time, those parables known as the parables of the kingdom. And so Matthew chapter 18, and we'll begin reading with verse 21 and read down through the end of the chapter. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Now verse 23 is where the parable actually starts. Jesus goes on and says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all.'" That sounds familiar, doesn't it? "And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." And then verse 35, Jesus makes this application of the parable. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." And so we'll look tonight at this parable of the unforgiving servant. Now, Father, we're thankful for your forgiveness, and we pray that you'll help us to have a heart of forgiveness as well. Help me now as I endeavor to teach and preach this passage tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit will apply it. If there's anybody with us that's not saved, I pray they'll come to Christ and trust Him. I pray that you'll help those who are saved to learn what you have for us tonight. Please help, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And so then, we're looking at the parables known as the parables of the kingdom. They're the parables that Jesus told, which illustrate this age in which we're living right now. The nation of Israel had been promised in Old Testament times that they would have a Messiah who would come and establish a kingdom of peace and righteousness over which he would rule from David's throne. Well, the Messiah came, his name was Jesus, and offered this kingdom, but he was rejected as king by the nation. Therefore, the promised kingdom was postponed until the nation is ready to receive him, which will be at his second advent. The parables of the kingdom were told to answer the question as to what would happen between the time that Jesus was rejected as king at his first advent and the time that he'll be received as king at his second advent. So these parables describe various developments within the kingdom of God in this age while the kingdom exists in what is known as its mystery form. Now, what we're going to look at tonight, the parable of the unforgiving servant, has a theme of forgiveness. And since that's the prominent theme, it's important that we understand something about forgiveness as far as the aspects of God's forgiveness of our sins. For there are two sides to God's forgiveness. The way that he forgives a lost sinner, whereby the person's sins are forgiven and his destiny is changed. And then secondly, parental forgiveness, that's after a person is saved, the forgiveness that we need as members of God's family to maintain proper fellowship with him. Now, the first, I call it judicial forgiveness. I'm going to read you a verse from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Here, this verse is talking about what I call judicial forgiveness. You can see in the verse that it's equated with redemption. And so a person who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusts him as their Savior and Redeemer receives the forgiveness of sins, is what that verse says. It means that kind of forgiveness that God, as the moral judge of the universe, pardons one's sins when the person trusts Christ as Savior. This type of forgiveness occurs at salvation. All the individual sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven so that he never will face the guilt of them, will never have to go to hell for his sins. That kind of forgiveness takes place at salvation. The second type of forgiveness, I call it parental forgiveness. It's spoken of, for example, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, where we as Christians are told if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This deals with forgiveness within the family of God. After a person is saved, when a person trusts Christ as Savior, at that point the person's born again. They're born spiritually, born into the family of God, so that God becomes their Father. So once a person is saved, God begins to deal with that person as a parent dealing with his child. Parental forgiveness does not deal with salvation. It deals with fellowship between the Christian and his heavenly Father. So a person can have judicial forgiveness, meaning that they're saved and will never go to hell, and yet not have parental forgiveness, meaning that their fellowship with God will be broken and they may receive punishment here on earth. And so we'll look at this parable of the unforgiving servant tonight. It could be entitled Our Treatment of One Another Within God's Kingdom. And so let's notice, first of all, the context in verses 21 and 22. We see in verse 21 Peter's question. It says, "Then came Peter to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now, understand that the question that Peter's asking here concerns forgiveness for personal wrongs. In other words, it's not dealing with crime and that type of thing. Some airheads have tried to take this kind of thing use it to teach that we ought to let criminals go free under the pretense of forgiveness. And that is not what it's talking about. This is talking about in your personal relationships with other people, with other Christians especially. Now, Jesus had already taught that that individuals should be forgiving before he taught this. For example, back in Matthew chapter 6, a part of what they call the Sermon on the Mount, in verses, when he taught us about prayer and gave us what they call the Lord's Prayer, he, as part of that model prayer that he gave us, verse 12, he told us to pray this, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That may be a little bit of a dangerous prayer. Forgive us as we forgive others. How do you forgive others? That's what you're asking God to do, is treat you like you're treating other people. That's exciting, isn't it? And he goes on in verses 14 and 15 of Matthew 6, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, the parable illustrates those verses right there. So Jesus had already taught then that as individuals we're to be forgiving. So Peter here in Matthew 18 assumes that he's to forgive a brother who sins against him. But his question is, how many times do I forgive the same individual? Are seven times enough to forgive one person? I mean, if I forgive him seven times, can I then punch him in the nose? Basically, that's what Peter's asking. Well, Jesus answers in verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So now, Jesus' answer does not imply that we're supposed to keep a list of how many times we've forgiven somebody, and once we reach 490 times, then we stop forgiving them. That's not the idea. The idea is that we just keep on. If you forgive somebody 490 times, you'll be in a habit of it by then. See? So Jesus is saying that we should just keep on forgiving one who wrongs us. Forgiveness is to be our normal attitude toward those who do us wrong. Boy, this is exciting Bible preaching. I mean, it's all kinds of good things there. Now, let's look at the parable in verses 23 through 34. And we'll see four things in the parable. Verses 23 through 25, notice the debt of the servant. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So, the debt of the servant. A king is here collecting money that is owed him by his servants. One servant is brought in who owes the king 10,000 talents. Now, that's a lot of money. If you want to know how much, it's a lot. Actually, I did figure it out. The talent of the New Testament period was worth roughly from $950 to $1,200. It fluctuated between those figures. So the amount of money that was owed by this servant to the king was between $9.5 million and $12 million. I told you it was a lot. I mean, you know, maybe you got that laying around, but most of us don't. This servant didn't. Well, obviously, he doesn't have it. So the king orders the servant and his family, his possessions, sold in order that he can get back a portion of his money. And that was a common practice in Bible days. If one owed a debt that he couldn't pay, he could be sold into slavery along with his family in order that the debt, or a portion of it at any rate, might be paid. You might remember back in 2 Kings that a prophet died, left a widow and some children behind, and the creditor had come and was going to sell those children off to pay this debt, and Elisha performed a miracle to keep that from taking place, but it was a common thing. Notice then in verses 26 and 27, we see the compassion of the king. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So the servant, realizing that he and his family are going to be sold, he begs the king to give him more time to pay the debt. The king was so touched by the pleading of the servant that he forgave him the entire debt. He said, I'll just write it all off. Now notice what the servant does in verses 28 through 30. We see the cruelty of the servant. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. After this servant had been pardoned of that gigantic debt that he owed the king, then this is how he responds. He finds another servant that owes him 100 pence. Now, that is equivalent to about $17. He had just been forgiven between a $9.5 million and a $12 million debt, and now he wants to demand this $17 that this fellow owes him. Well, the man didn't have the money to pay, so he begged for time, just as his creditor had begged the king for time to pay off his debt. However, the servant would not act in a spirit of mercy and forgiveness, but rather he has the debtor cast into debtor's prison. Now, often when one was cast into debtor's prison, what would happen is his friends and his relatives and so forth would find the money to pay the debt so that he could be released from prison, and probably that's what this unforgiving servant was hoping for. So the point is, here's a man who had been forgiven, we'll say, a $10 million debt, to be on the low end of it, and now he has another guy put in prison for a $17 debt. Then notice in verses 31 through 34, the punishment of the servant. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So the fellow servants, the other servants, saw what had happened, went and told the king. Well, the king was very upset, called in the servant, and reminds the servant that he'd been forgiven a $10 million debt, and is then asked the question, since you were forgiven of so much, don't you think you should have forgiven your fellow servant of a $17 debt? And then the king demanded that the servant be cast into debtor's prison. It says delivered him to the tormentors, which is what jailers were largely back in that day. In fact, at one time in the Roman Empire, they would not accept a confession unless a person was first tortured. And that sounds like fun, doesn't it? And so the king has this servant cast into debtor's prison until he paid the king what he owed. So the point is that because the servant refused to forgive others, the king refused to forgive him. Now, the application, verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So, Jesus told this parable for the sake of this application. As the king refused to forgive the unforgiving servant, so the Lord will refuse to forgive the Christian who does not forgive others. Let me read again to you the verses that I read a moment ago from Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so, does that mean the Christian will lose his salvation? No, it doesn't mean that. That would contradict other passages of Scripture throughout the Bible, which teach that once a person is saved, the person is saved eternally. Rather, the application is referring to what I called earlier parental forgiveness, not judicial forgiveness. It means that the Christian's fellowship with the Lord will be broken and the Christian will have trouble in their life. Now, that doesn't mean all trouble, obviously, is because the Christian has not forgiven somebody. But sometimes that may be. That's something to consider when trouble comes, you know. Not for you to consider about somebody else, but for us to consider about ourselves. See? And so, let me just mention three things by way of practical lessons from this. Number one, whatever wrongs have been done to us by others, they're not nearly as great as the wrongs that we've done to the Lord. I mean, this guy owed the king $10 million. Somebody else owed him $17. Somebody might owe you $17, But you owe the king probably 10 million. I'm sure I owe that much. A second thing, God's forgiveness of our sins should motivate us to forgive others who sin against us. And thirdly, God's forgiveness of our sins and our fellowship with him is dependent upon our forgiveness of others. And so, that's what Jesus said. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you don't, he won't. That's what Jesus said. So what does he mean? I got a feeling he meant what he said. In fact, that's the first thing to always ask about a scripture. Not what does it mean, but what does it say? And so, may the Lord help us to be forgiving.